And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Andy White and Nick Butler talk social media.
I think if we have an intro that's based on people scripting it, they're not going to get it.
So what do you think we should say?
Conversations around social media, technology, two of the brightest social media entrepreneurs in the south of England today.
Yeah, let me write that down.
I think the idea is we've got to go around every cafe in the south of England and record a different episode each one.
What should we call it, though?
It's all about social media. It's Andy White and the Loudmouth Man. Social media white noise.
I like it.
And now... Oh, sod it. Everything they just said.
We're off. We're recording.
Are we?
Yeah.
Stuff. Get started.
Yeah, let's think of a joke that we could say at the beginning.
It can be something very funny inserted here. Like, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Good grief. It's officially the number episode 45.
It is. It really is 45 this time.
This is not the 45 episode you listened to last week. That was the different 45 episode. This is Social Media White Noise. I am Loudmouth Man, a.k.a. Nick Butler. Or was it Nick Butler, a.k.a. Loudmouth Man?
And I am Dr. Pod, spelled out Dr., not Dr. Pod, but Dr. Pod, also known as Andy White in the human world.
In the real world.
Where are we today, Nick?
The Beaches Buffet in Pirie's Place in Horsham. And if you're coming into Horsham and you park up in the Pirie's Place car park, it's pretty much the first cafe you're going to see as you head in towards Pirie's Place. I was sitting here reminiscing about the fact that more than 18 years ago, literally, that I would come down to Pirie's Place when it was actually a market to do the usual excuse of walking nonchalantly and very innocently past a particular market stall.
Sorry, carry on.
Okay, you actually sound like you're doing X-Files and not our tune.
That wasn't our tune. That was the tune behind the Yellow Pages advert for... And what's your name?
Ah, yes. What was that guy's name?
That's J.R.
Fly Fishing by J.R. Hartley.
Which is even worse. Because even it's the wrong emotion. I mean, you know, if you were doing Simon Bates and our tune... Anyway, I used to walk past this market stall because this girl that I was going to be interested in meeting, who I'd eventually marry, who this Thursday will be 16 years anniversary.
What, should we be 16 year olds this Thursday?
Yes, that's right. Well done. That's even more twisted. Thank you.
Carry on.
There's a reason sometimes we don't talk loudly in public, Andy.
What are we discussing today, Nicholas? The social media white noise.
On the social media white noise.
Have you said what the name of the show is, in case any brand new listeners are listening?
We've done that
what the hell
several
this
times.
Is.
Several times.
Have we? Okay.
But so we've got in the running order, in no particular order, Facebook Places, which I didn't actually put up on the link now, which is why Andy's now looking at me like, what are you going on about?
You, Davina McCall, in no particular order.
Dot replies.
Now I'm interested in that.
Okay.
I want to know what these
something
dot replies
to be interested
about.
In. Yeah. Apple ITV. Is it the game changer?
That was one of mine. Yeah.
And how a picture on Twitter can link a beer drinking enthusiast like myself to the brewer in the Shetland Isles, which I just thought is magical. It's the magic of the internet.
I'm looking forward to that story, Nick.
Which is brilliant. So shall we? We're in no particular order because we're rubbish at segues.
I think we should call the show No Particular Order.
There we go. There's the title for it right there and then.
Yeah.
He's typing away. And
by
the way, if you're visiting the website, Achievement Unlocked, 45 episodes. Everybody celebrates 50, but you know what? I'm going to get in there early and celebrate 45. 45
okay.
Episodes. It has no particular meaning.
What are we going to do on that 50th episode? And what's that strange noise? Oh, it's
probably
some jolly
drink
bean.
Coffee and talk tech and rant a bit.
So when can we have my friend Stoney on talking about Google Apps for your domain?
Okay, that'll be something that we need to plan in. But I would probably say whenever you like.
Okay, I'll give him a tinkle.
You know, there's people screaming into their iPods right now saying, get on with it.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, what's the first thing?
There we go. Let's just have a quick talk about Places, because it's probably the oldest news today. But Facebook Places was released a couple of weeks back. This is geolocation-based services for Facebook, which mean that you can sort of check into a place and say, we're at Beaches Buffet drinking coffee, and I'm here, and I can check in. And everybody following me on Facebook will then be able to see that where I am as a geophysical place. The interesting thing was Foursquare, who are offering sort of geolocation, geophysical location, check-in services, saw a huge increase in their sign-up. I tend to use Gowalla more than Foursquare, but that's just because Gowalla has a better app. But what I thought was interesting about places was the continuing screwing up of privacy that Facebook managed to bring to that particular conversation. Mm. Because not only can I check myself in, I could sit here and go, oh, I'm also here with Dr. Pod, and then I can say, tagging Dr. Pod at this location. You have no... Well, there is a certain amount of control over how you can tag. You can go into your privacy settings and change this, but unless you go into your privacy settings and set it so that people can't check you into places, you can just be checked in randomly by your friends.
Buckingham Palace.
People could just check you in wherever they choose.
You'll be thanking me.
And however they want, and for no particular reason. I spy a Gordon, the owner of the Beaches Buffet.
Oh, right.
So he's probably going to pop over and have a chat.
Dude with the glasses.
And I can honestly say that this was yet another classic Facebook faux pas in making something that could be really useful and delivering something that has everyone saying, well, actually, no, I kind of, this goes back to what I constantly say, that your privacy won't be affected by your choices on the internet. Your privacy will be affected by other people's choices. Yeah. Your privacy will be affected by other people checking you in, tagging you in pictures, flagging you in conversations. You can do all you want to protect your privacy, and somebody else comes along, tags you in an image, adds you in a photo, tweets you in a conversation, and then your sort of attempts at staying under the cover are completely blown.
And Nick, this combined with the release of the Facebook list of names, it will just be fatal.
Well, you know what, if that list of names was actually linked to places that was actually working, it might be a little bit more scary, but I don't believe it is. Mm. I mean, we spent a huge amount of time getting worried about privacy, but I can guarantee you right now, if you looked outside in Prue's place, you'll probably find one or two CCTV cameras that are running, which are being operated by people down in Hilti, of which you have no access to. So, possibly... We're worried about the wrong elements of privacy here. We're concerned about what people are giving away on Twitter. Meanwhile, there's no control over who's watching you over CCTV. And that, you know, we're not talking about sort of CSI-style CCTV. We're talking about grainy images, poor frame rate updates, and the fact that if you're wearing an orange shirt and you're walking down the high street, you can be stopped by the police and accused of all sorts of things because, well, they're not using the CCTV correctly. But I digress.
Yeah.
So places, it's out there now. It caused a bit of controversy a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I personally think a lot of people who are quite dedicated to just using Facebook will make use of it to a certain degree. But the fact that people can be checked in and checked out means an awful lot more people will opt out of being in that service. Mm. It's another classic. Facebook always seem to assume everything should be opt-in at the start. And then you have to wind back everything. You know, you have to stop people tagging you in photos because you may not want to be tagged in photos. In fact, I spotted, if you've seen this on Facebook on the right-hand side, I'll sometimes show you a photo of somebody and say, who is this? And I'll highlight the face.
Really?
And so what I started doing was just putting in other people's names, tagging the wrong person.
Bigfoot.
So if you tag in the wrong people, what does that mean? What if the photo you're tagged in isn't actually you? And that goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of fun you can have with that. But I'm kind of unimpressed with that.
Well, let's see how it pans out. So time will tell.
Time will tell. And speaking of other game changes and other things that have changed, Apple
ITV.
Have announced ITV.
Oh, I thought it was called the ITV before.
I think that's kind of like its initial name.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. I saw this blog post by a guy called Kevin Rose a couple of days ago.
By a guy called Kevin
guy
Rose.
Guy called Kevin Rose.
Did you know who Kevin Rose is,
KevinRose.com.
Right?
Tell me who Kevin Rose is.
You don't know who Kevin Rose is?
No, I've never heard of the dude. Who is he? Who's Kevin Rose?
No, now you're just putting the ironic face.
No. Tell me who he is.
No, I'm not going to tell you now.
Okay. Is he famous? Is he well known in the web?
Could be.
Yeah.
It's a bit like not knowing who Justin Bieber is.
Yeah. Oh, well, I haven't heard of him.
Or High School Musical?
No, what's that?
Okay, yeah.
Is that a radio show or something?
But moving on,
Radio
Apple
4?
TV.
Game changer? I'm not sure. Apparently they're revamping it. And it reminded me a little bit of...
How is this any different to what Google are going to try with Google
TV?
Well,
I was going on to Google TV.
And how is
which we've discussed before.
And
but
how is this any different to application-delivered content?
Hang on, I'm just calling my team of scientists to analyse what you're saying.
Mm. Right, go ahead and say what you're saying. Yeah. Then I'll sit here and give my rant for 5 minutes.
He's off again, yeah. Yeah, I'll just record it, then I'll just send the recording over to you.
You know,
yeah,
when
cheers.
You mime things on a podcast, it doesn't work very well.
Well, they're revamping the Apple ITV.
So Apple TV was an application you could buy that was a little hardware.
It was a box.
It was a box that connected to your...
television view. Set.
And it connected by way of...
of cable.
The internet.
Well, no, half of it went to the internet, half of it went to your network and hence the internet, and half of it went to the TV.
Yes.
So it was a way of pushing videos from your iTunes collection through your telly and podcasts if you wanted to look at the artwork, static artwork of a podcast. Unless it was a video podcast, of course. Yeah, mobile picture. This idea that you can just press a button and your family and friends can see. It doesn't seem new to me.
On iTunes, you can see
videos and things.
On iTunes, you can already download whole seasons of TV shows.
Yes.
Providing they're available on iTunes. So, you know, you can catch up with Lost, you can catch up with Friends, etc., etc. You can download videos and so forth. You can obviously make recommendations and so forth. If we sort of talk about how a social aspect of it, there isn't a social aspect in there at the moment. There isn't a way which you can sit down and watch it together. If you're on Microsoft's Xbox Live, there's a feature called Party Mode that lets you create a party out of people who you're friends with on Xbox Live, and you can all sit down over the internet and start watching a film together or watch a match that's being streamed live together. Greetings, Gordon. I'm doing well. And so the proprietor has just walked in with a large amount of mats and so forth. So on Xbox Live, you can already do this. And whether Apple are going to bring this in and make it something where when you're sitting down to watch something or you're sitting down to say, I'm buying this, it then becomes something you share out, I don't think it's an extension of anything that we are not already doing. Because there's an awful lot of people who sit there and tweet about the TV shows they're watching, and it can become quite a sort of trended comment and so forth. So you can end up with X Factor is a popular one, where people then sort of comment on the things they're seeing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can see it that where they're going with this is not the social aspect. It's about the fact that we actually don't need broadcast or scheduled television anymore. And that's the game changer right there. You don't need to have a TV show that can be scheduled and broadcast outside of the news and so forth. Because if you can wrap up a TV show so that it can then just be purchased in a block and downloaded by people, then it can be watched. Then people are no longer watching everything at set times set out by schedules. I can see Sky Television in the UK, who, you know, the Be Sky being their satellite TVs. I can see a huge value for removing that extreme cost in broadcast television, which is the ownership of transmitters and the paying of license fees, and moving the thing into that environment. This is very similar to what you get when Wired magazine and certain newspapers now build applications that you purchase for your smartphone that then let you view the magazine style content in that environment. So they're removing it from the web where they couldn't work out how to make any money out of it, and they're now charging for you for it on an as you go basis, just like they did when you bought it from the magazines, from the news agents and so forth.
Yes.
What nobody's really saying is, well, won't this move mean that news agents will go out of business? And in 20 years of internet, we've not seen Smiths go out of business yet, nor complain about going out of business.
So does this come in line, Nick, with this whole idea of using an app as a sort of delivery point?
An app is the delivery point, and I think it changes the meaning of net neutrality. It changes the meaning of making the internet something which can be layered by different charge for different layers. Because applications can be built by producers that deliver their content in a controlled fashion through an application that can then be charged for on an as-you-going basis, without the need to be involved in a net neutrality conversation where they're paying to access the subscription channels for different internet service providers. It's worth pointing out, and I think I might have linked to this, but Demon have recently come out with a new subscription service to their internet service provision for gamers that will prioritise traffic for gamers to get faster internet speeds for when they want to play online multiplayer games.
All right.
That is the very start of the end of a neutral internet where everything is equal and all packets are equal.
Yeah.
Because now you have a consumer that says, actually, these bits of information, you know, this sort of content for me is more important than this sort of content.
That's scary, actually.
And that's who
was the provider again?
Demon. And it's absolutely fine. Demon are providing a service, and the consumers want to have it. That's a free market requirement.
Yeah.
Fine. But the impact of that free market requirement is internet service providers can then start saying, actually, we will start providing a very, very basic internet service, and then there will be all these other flavours we can add. So from a producer's point of view, the problem there is they'll be held over the barrel by what the internet service provider's giving. By moving into content delivered through an application,
yes,
through Apple TV, through Google TV, through an iPad download, means they can circumvent that net neutrality licensing issue that is going to be in the future, and they can get their content straight down to the user and still have control over it without the carriers putting their fingers in and taking a slice of the pie. There's my 5-minute rant over.
It's interesting, isn't it?
I find this whole game changer, but it's not a game changer for our generation, though.
Just coming at this at a slightly different angle, I am quite interested in this whole idea of bringing consumption away from the computer onto the TV or onto mobile devices, but especially onto the TV.
I think you're already there. The ability to do that is there with smartphones, with iPads.
But it's a faff because you have to plug your iPad into the TV, and this is the idea of something that's already functioning. Yeah,
this is the thing that will move away because more people are developing the expectation they shouldn't have to own a computer to own a smartphone, they shouldn't have to own a computer to own an iPad, and we're not too far away from somebody making that jump. When a jump can be made that says actually we don't need to. You know, you can get your iPad, it will get authorised at the store, and then from there on, it can back itself up over the internet, it can connect over the internet, it can send data over the internet, it doesn't actually need to have a computer to back anything up to.
Yeah.
Because it is a computer in its own right.
Well, more and more things are like computers, aren't they? They're smart.
And you know, your iPhone is doing the same thing, you know, being my favourite phrase, sorry about that.
Say it again. What, Will Harris?
I can see, we haven't done that yet. I know, and I have the opportunity. I can see this is the game changer, but the game changer needs to come when the TV in the living room is the centre for a media centre and not the centre for an aerial for broadcast or a satellite for broadcast television.
Yeah.
This will come when your Sky box no longer connects to a satellite installation, but your Sky box connects to a DSL installation.
Sure, yeah.
But that is only available when internet speeds in the UK sit around 20 megabit mark easily, which is an awful lot of the UK that can't be provided to.
Mm.
And that's the inevitable result. If you watched, I can't believe I'm going to even mention it, but if you watched Click Online this week, you'd have seen Christian Payne, AKA Documentally.
Yeah.
There we are, he gets a mention.
Documentally.
Talking about the trials and tribulations of trying to get internet access whilst on the go.
Right.
And he was talking about, you know, the wild and distant places, like on a British Rail train heading out Milton Keynes, or maybe Iraq. But he was basically talking about the ability to access the internet using various devices. And how he has been inventive or creative in ensuring a way in which he can get connected. He still lives in a village, though, where he has a hard time getting more than 4 megabytes to where he is. So this broadband TV, this internet TV, won't have a chance being picked up whilst we still don't see anything less than a 20 megabyte connection. Because you need at least a 20 megabyte connection to stream HD quality TV.
Sure.
And that's to one device. What if you've got a whole household of devices and there are 4 or 5 that want to watch different channels? And of course the advantage of having it with the internet is there's no longer a requirement to have channels and channelization. Schedulization. The whole function of having scheduled television disappears. So unless you're throwing out live events, how are you doing it? So that's... So what are we going to see? We're not going to see it in the next 5 years. It's going to be over the next 10 years. And it is going to come down to people not wanting to buy an aerial, buy a skybox. They'll look back. And is that the same way that now people are going to say, do I need to have a telephone line for landline calls? I've got my mobile. I think it's going to be the same thing available. It's going to be, do I need to have a satellite dish to watch TV? That will be the change. That will be the moment when it moves over.
I could see years down the road when we haven't been using terrestrial radio transmissions for years and years, maybe decades. I can see a revival with little people. It's a bit like sort of
little people. Oompa Loompas
broadcasting out on the airwaves just as a hobby, a bit like CB radio, but you know, video.
It'll be old school. It'll be old school.
Well, Oompa Loompas in tank tops.
The thing is that the radio waves. So.
What it is Will Harris, TM.
At the moment, if you want to broadcast anything over radio waves, over the radio spectrum, there is a requirement for you to have a license or be a licensed operator or to use unlicensed area. Mm. So this licensing of access meant that there had to be a group set up who would basically manage and control that, and that created this fantastic idea of a scarcity economy over radio waves, that there'll be certain slices available and people have to buy to own those spectrums.
Licensing.
Mm. The attempts of things like the Digital Economy Bill, which we've talked about before, is an attempt by people to encourage governments to think that the internet has to be treated like the radio spectrum, that access to certain services has to be divided up in the same way that radio waves were, in order that things are fairly labelled out.
Now, what evidence of this will we see? Just spell it out for us quickly again.
We'll have to go back to the sort of rights of the Digital Economy Bill and the rights where what we're looking at is the attempt to break down access to certain services like torrents and so forth by saying torrenting's illegal, this is illegal. Mm. Internet service providers need to monitor certain content and certain so forth. What they're trying to do is say access to the internet should only be on the following ports, and we'll make ports now equal to radio waves frequencies. So port 80 and port 443 are the only two ports you actually need for internet access. Well, that's not quite true. Yeah. And now we need port 25. So what they'll do is they'll say actually internet service providers will need to pay to access certain ports, and application providers will then provide certain ports, and therefore things will be in more control, and there'll be this sort of transparent access of who's delivering what content over what port, and we'll all have access to it. It completely misunderstands how the internet works, but this is the attempt by these lobbyists to make governments control the internet.
This is the first time I've heard of this port thing. You mean they actually understand what a port is?
No, they don't. This is why everything's going wrong as far as trying to make this stuff work.
I mean, they're talking about intellectual property addresses,
they're talking about intellectual property for IP when they actually meant internet ports. Yeah, God, so we're back to that again. But we can move on. So, television, is it a game changer? No, because this is something that's actually already beginning to happen, and we'll see the change when people stop buying a satellite dish to watch Premier League football, and they'll instead visit a fairly dodgy Iraqi website and get their PC infected.
Like someone we know.
Like someone we know.
Can we talk about your twig pick in this brewer and this consumer?
Oh, this is brilliant. Hey, before we do that, let's still talk about the sponsors.
Oh, please do.
Since we are sitting here drinking this fantastic... I tell you, you know it's fantastic coffee because it's already disappeared from the bottom of the plate.
We haven't commented on the coffee, have we? You've got a square saucer.
Yeah, a round cup.
Large radius of curvature.
It is a rather large cup. It's the old two-handed cup. But we should thank, in order, Paul Hadley, a.k.a. Hadley Paul, on Twitter.
Salute you.
For sending in a donation for these coffees. And we also have to thank eBuyer of eBuyer.com for sponsoring the shows and paying for the coffees and teas and so forth, and providing us with the opportunity to lax miracle on the topic of technology and coffee.
Thank you, eBuyer.
So raise a glass to you, eBuyer. And again, I have to point out, if you are going to look buying hardware or software online, visit eBuyer, the guaranteed next day delivery with an up to 11 p.m. order time. And I know that in shopping through eBuyer, I'm going to find the product I'm looking for, I'm going to get it delivered, and I'm going to get the job done.
Yeah, and I can just comment that when my business was very different back in the early 2000s, and we were doing a lot of computer support and computer technical stuff, I think eBuyer was the only consistent supplier we actually used throughout that sort of 3-year period. Yeah, they were pretty solid.
They have a consistency, which is why we appreciate them providing us with the cash to carry on buying coffees.
Yeah, now, we love you, eBuyer.
Now we talked about eBuyer and we talked about Paul Hadley. Thank you, sir. We will point out there is a donation page that you can visit. There is a donation button on the website as you view it. So please feel free to donate a certain amount of cash to us, because it does help pay for the coffees and teas if you appreciate the show. And whilst we're talking about linking up to people, I I received a set of beers from Scotland since my parents were doing a trip from Scotland, and they came back with some beers from Scotland, and one of them was a Shetland Isle brew, and I twit picked it, and out of the blue this guy called Highland Brew Lou contacted me on Twitter and said that was his beer. And it turns out this guy in the Shetlands who brews this beer had seen me put the picture up on Twitter, so then contacts me and asks me for my opinions. I'm in Horsham. His beer has gone 1,200 miles, has spent several weeks in several different places to be transported, and has arrived in Twitter, which means there's a photo that's been taken on my camera that's then been delivered to servers that are in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And those bits have gone from San Francisco back to the Shetlands to be viewed by somebody who goes, oh, that's my beers.
Yeah.
And
that's
When I get asked about why is there any value in you, why would you do these things? It's about linking up opportunities. It's about the fact that we do these podcasts where we visit different cafes and we talk about the cafe and we talk about the coffee and so forth. And then what happens is somebody else doing a search on the internet for coffee in Brighton or coffee in Horsham stumbles upon our conversations, our reviews, finds out about the cafe and can visit it.
Yeah. That's it.
This is always the overheard conversation, and the overheard conversation in sales, the overheard conversation in marketing is extremely powerful.
I remember the overheard conversation we had years ago, before we even started Social Media White Noise, when I interviewed you, I think, for internet marketing.
It's constantly underrated. Everybody will talk about engagement this and strategy that. It's about creating conversations. Those conversations are just honest to God. We're talking about this, we're talking about that, we're just talking in general. And it's a broadcast that you're creating that other people can stumble upon. And you can sit in the cafe and you can overhear a conversation about Iraqi football sites and you can say, that's what I want to do. So these are the power of the overheard conversation. And it's, we're sort of talking about it at the weekend because I sort of got into a conversation with Joanne Jacobs over the sort of use of the fact that I call myself a digital roadie when everybody else calls themselves social media guru.
Yep.
Or expert and so forth. I genuinely believe that you shouldn't self-certify yourself as an expert. You shouldn't self-certify yourself as a guru. You shouldn't say, I'm a guru, I'm an expert. I think if other people are saying it of you, it's far more powerful. Mm. I had this weekend somebody else say, Nick Butler, social media suprema.
Right.
And I didn't ask him for that. Having asked him for that, that's then put out there. That's a far better qualification of what somebody thinks about what I do than me saying on my profile I'm a guru. I don't think you should self-certify yourself as an expert. No, I think you should let other people do it for you. That said, people will say, oh, but when people are searching for you, are they searching for roadie? Well, no, they're not searching for roadie, but they are searching for digital. And if they're looking at a list of people who say digital expert, digital expert, digital expert, digital roadie, they're more likely to click on the digital roadie because he's just stood out. It's about the overheard conversation. And the only way you get overheard is to stand out. And you don't stand out by doing what everybody else does. Rant over.
So,
you can correct me on the comments on the website.
Yeah, I mean,
socialmediawhitenoise.com.
3 minutes left, Nick. Can we talk about dot replies
dot
on Twitter?
Replies,
I've seen you do this. What does it mean? Where you go dot at then Twitter name and then some comment. What does that do?
It used to be, when you're replying to people on Twitter, you generally use the at symbol and then their Twitter name, so that's their Twitter handle.
Yes.
And then you talk to them. And previously on Twitter, it sounds like the opening to you, previously on Twitter, everybody who followed you would see you talking to that person. So they would see you having that. They may not be following that person, but they would see your reply to that person.
Yes, understand.
And that would then lead you to overhear or discover a conversation of interest to you that you can join in.
Yeah.
Twitter changed the rules so that if you didn't follow that person, you then weren't seeing that reply.
Oh.
So if you don't follow that person and that person just uses at reply, so the person you're following at replies, then suddenly you're not seeing it.
Why did they do that?
And because what they thought was, well, because you're not following somebody, you probably don't want to see replies to them either.
Of course you want to see replies.
And some people think
that's how you get to follow new people.
Some people think that is broken. I personally think that's broken because originally that's how it worked.
Right.
And if that was working that way, and people didn't, you know, if I was sending something that I didn't want everybody to see, I'd send it in a DM. Mm. It would be a different conversation.
Yeah.
So they then fixed it. So now I notice that when people are wanting to reply but let everybody else see that reply, they put a full stop before the at symbol. So you go full stop at name of person. Now,
immediately before it, no space.
Immediately before it, no space.
Yeah.
So the very first thing is dot, then an at symbol, and then off you go. And what happens out of this is everybody gets to see the reply.
Okay.
Which meant, yeah, Paul Clark this morning discovered that he wasn't following me. The reason he didn't realise that he wasn't seeing me, it wasn't that he unfollowed me, he just realised that Twitter had broken the link between us, and so he wasn't following me. It wasn't until documentally dot atted me, dot replied me. So I then asked the question, who dot replies? And quite a few people use the dot reply.
And so everyone can see it.
So everybody else can see it. So when you're having a conversation that you want everybody else to see, you use the dot reply.
But presumably, if you searched for your Twitter handle on Twitter, would you then see all of the things that mention you?
Yes, but you will see those anyway. But what we're talking about is documentally is talking to somebody who I don't follow.
Yeah, right.
If he doesn't dot reply, dot at Twitter name, I don't see who he's talking to. So I don't see his conversation about privacy, or I don't see his conversation about networks.
Okay, right.
Can be frustrating.
I think I understand, yeah.
Speaking of networks, just very briefly, because we always like to talk about Google Apps for your domain.
We are going to cover that, I promise.
And what you'll see is
joking
that there
aside.
Is a new feature coming into Google Mail, and whether it will be able to be rolled into Google Apps for your domain, called Priority Mail.
Which
will intelligently sort your email by priority, starred, and the rest of it. What they call Bologna, or just Bacon. It's just information,
right.
Notification mail, and so forth. So they're now going to start sorting your inbox for you so that you can immediately prioritise what you need to reply to as opposed to what you need to skim and respond to later. I actually have an inbox. I promised documentally I was going to talk about my inbox zero habits. I guess I'll have to record this for a different show.
Okay.
Another time. Speaking of different shows, I recorded another podcast. I did another podcast. I hope you can forgive me, Andy.
Oh, Nick, have you been unfaithful to me?
I've been unfaithful to you, and I've
tell
been
about,
another
tell
podcast.
Us about the podcast. If it's a good one, I'll let you off.
It's called the Xbox Room.
Yeah.
And it's a Box Room podcast. Room podcast. We'll put the links up into the site because there's not actually a link for it. Now, the guys from Box Room podcast bought themselves an Xbox at Christmas, and their podcast sort of disappeared.
And because they're too busy
playing on the Xbox.
No.
Because the games are so involving. And I suggested to them, look, these games are really involving. These games are really interesting. Why don't we have a conversation about the games that you've been playing? Mm. Because the narrative in them is fascinating. So we called it the Xbox Room.
Excellent.
Xbox Room podcast. There'll be a link to the shows. I have been tweeting about it all weekend. But it is an attempt to talk about video gaming, not from the technical perspective, not from the gameplay perspective, but talk about it in terms of narrative. Talk about it in terms of the worlds that get built.
Okay.
And the thought that goes into the design of those worlds and the stories that can come out of those worlds. So it's much more writers and genre-based podcast rather than a technical podcast.
Okay.
Senny Dreadful and Box Room are involved in it, and it's called the Xbox Room Podcast version 1.
Excellent. Just putting it in the show notes.
We've
now.
We've gone over time.
The Xbox Room Podcast.
Over time and under-delivered.
Yeah, so, sorry I've been a bit quiet. I haven't been for a run today. I went for a run-walk yesterday. Because my running buddy's away at the moment.
Because it's not Monday today.
It's Tuesday.
It's not Monday.
We're a day late. Because of the bank holiday.
Bank holiday malarkeys.
Yeah, bank holiday. So I've been Dr. Pod, aka Andy White.
And I still am Nick Butler, aka Loudmouth Man. It's been Social Media White Noise. Feel free to leave some comments at socialmediawhitenoise.com on the website. Throw us some donations. We love it when you buy us coffee.
And that's it. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Social Media White Noise, brought to you by Andy White, aka Dr. Pod, and Nick Butler, aka Loudmouth Man. Please visit www.socialmediawhitenoise.com, where you can leave comments, listen to the show straight from the webpage, and subscribe for free. Email us at ulot@socialmediawhitenoise.com. Follow us on Twitter, Dr. Pod, and Loudmouth Man. We'd like to thank the coffee shops of Sussex, Social Media and Technology, without whom this show would not be possible. See you soon. Peace.